Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/truetransparencypricing. Happy you'll be if the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
By Wendy's, some of the $5 biggie bag. It'll be an awesome halftime ceremony on Sunday where the Titans will retire the numbers of Eddie George and Steve McNair. It'll be really cool. And throughout this week, all of the shows here on The Zone have been reaching out to different connections with both players. And we have another one on the line with us. Jerry Rome. First offensive coordinator for Steve McNair in the NFL. He joins us on the Midday 180. Jerry, how are you?
I'm doing fine. It's a nice day here. I'm in Dallas, Texas.
Okay.
Good to be with you, Jerry. I appreciate maintaining a connection with you from all the way back from when I covered the last year in Houston and watched you work with Steve. I know you were a part of scouting him for the organization. As they were deciding to draft him out of Alcorn State, and if I'm remembering correctly, there was an audible or a system at Alcorn State that was appealing to you guys, something that pertained to Bear Claw. Can you pick it up there?
Well, I the only thing I remember about that, I'm not sure exactly what a system you're talking about, but Steve in his offense did have passwords that he would yell out. See, they didn't even really huddle. They were just lined up, all over the field, spread out, and, behind the line of scrimmage, of course, but that they used passwords such as wolf and dog and bear and cat, and it told the receivers what to do. And he went through it all, and he was they never did huddle up. We never did see him huddle.
And this system worked awfully well. It sounded like for them, you guys came back from how many times were you down there, and how impressed were you guys with what they were able to do in such a I don't want to call it simple. I don't mean to suggest it was a simple system, but it was simple the way they communicated with each other. It sounds like.
But, we didn't see a real live game. I mean, we had seen him on film. But what we did just was watch a practice session. Okay? So he was out there with his receivers, and they were just pretending that they were playing a game.
Jerry Rome with us on the Midday 180. Jerry, in the 1 year that Paul covered the Oilers in Houston prior to the move, he's told me stories about playing some basketball. And I know there's one particular story that I'll let you pick up on of how you were asked to leave the court on one particular afternoon.
Yeah, this was before my time playing any basketball.
Well, we had a pretty good little group that we went over to this one place. Houston Oilers have been there a long time. And that era had changed quite a lot to the people that were living around that area. It had become Afro-American. It had become very Hispanic. So, but we were, that's where the field was, and they weren't about to move the location. And so, when we did go play basketball, we were in a pretty rough area. Didn't think that anybody would bother us, but we were on the court. We'd been doing this in the off season, like once a week, and we had a couple of sports writers and three coaches, and there, we had quite, and one guy from the PR department, and so it was like a 3-on-3 game, and we were playing basketball, and we were regularly doing it. It was like once a week, and we were there for like an hour and a half, and no one ever showed up, or no one was ever there. And one day, we're playing, and about four or five Afro-American players, or not players, but men, I guess 18, 19, 20 years old, they came walking down, and they wanted to know what we, what us white dudes were here. You know, what are we doing here? And I, you know, I stopped and I just said, you know, we stopped. And I said, well, we're playing basketball. Well, you don't belong on this court. This is our court. And I just said, well, no one's ever been here in the last year. We've been doing this for quite a while. Well, we just hadn't come down here at this time, and we heard about you. And I said, well, we're Houston Oilers people, and do you know who the Oilers are? Well, of course we do. And I said, well, do you know who Steve McNair is? Yes. And I said, well, who is he? He said, well, that's our quarterback. That's our quarterback. Now, this is when Steve was playing.
Right.
He just started playing, and, you know, we had really taken him slowly for a year because he never signed a contract until right up to almost the first day of the first game. So he didn't really get to play much. He didn't play any that first year. And then the second, you know, in the spring, I really took him and, you know, worked with him one-on-one and had receivers coming out there and helping him. And we did blackboard stuff and all that. So he hadn't really hit the deal that first year. But now we're into the second year and he's playing. And so, of course, now everybody knows who he is and everything. And so I just said to the guy, I said, well, I'm so-and-so. And I said, would you let us play on this basketball court if I bring Steve McNair over here tomorrow? And the guy looked at me like I had said I was going to bring the President of the United States over. And so I said, I'll have him over here. You all be here at like at 1 o'clock and Steve will be happy to come over here and say hi to you guys. And I can't say he'll sign autographs because I would be speaking for him. But, I imagine if you did break some footballs that he'd have a hard time turning it down. So anyway, we showed up at 1 o'clock the next day and there was a whole horde of people. I mean, there was like 30 or 40 guys. And so he believed me, you know, and so Steve sat there and signed all these autographed balls and different, you know, pictures and stuff like that. And, of course, Steve was really all class. And he just took his time and he talked to everybody. And it was quite an event. It's something that I will never forget in my years of being in pro ball.
Jerry Rome, McNair's first offensive coordinator. He's with us on the Midday 180.
Jerry, it's well documented that the plan was to take it slow with him and to give him time to get up to speed for what it would take to run an NFL offense. But, you know, guys get in the league and they want to play. How much was part of your job to be the guy to convince him to be patient, to stay patient, to learn behind the scenes and take it in? I'm sure he was champing at the bit to get out
well,
there and show that
a,
he was worth
it was
the pick.
An obvious, first, it was an obvious situation because our owner, Bud Adams, and his agent, and I can't remember the guy's name.
Bus Cook.
Yeah, Mr. Cook. They just didn't see eye to eye on the money thing. And so Steve didn't really sign until, you know, just like, 3 or 4 days before the first game, so he was totally not going to be playing the first year, and so after the first year, he stayed. You know, he was of course suited up for all the games, and Chris Chandler was the quarterback, and he was a very very good quarterback, and so we had Steve. You know, after practice. We would stay out, and some of the receivers would stay out with us and catch passes from him. And and we would, you know, I spend extra time in the meeting room where we'd have anytime we had a chance for an extra 30 minutes or something, Steve and I would get together and then, but that was just so that he could recognize things that were going on in practice so that he wouldn't just be, you know, looking at the practice and not participating and, you know, just being like a fan. And but there was no way that he was going to play that first year because, like I say, between the people that were trying to sign him to a contract, especially that agent of his, they weren't, it wasn't going to happen. When the season was over, you know, Steve and I sit down and I said, okay, this is where we're going to start really working. And so Steve started coming in, you know, four times a week an hour meeting, and we'd break a little bit, and then we'd come back, and we'd meet a little while, and then we'd go out on the field. And so that was basically when all the basketball thing happened. But everybody in that town knew who Steve McNair was, and everybody was waiting, you know, for him to step out there and, you know, put the show on. But, you know, you got to know what you're doing before you can put the show on.
Jerry Rome with us on the Midday 180. A little Oilers trivia, Jerry, I'll let you pick up on here. Bud Adams once traded the rights to Joe Namath to the New York Jets. Do you mind letting us know the rights, who the player was that he received the rights of in return?
Well, if that was a really, really confused thing. I hate to get into talking about myself, but that was the Jets, I didn't want to play for New York Jets.
Okay.
And I didn't like what that owner was wanting. He was wanting, more than just a quarterback. He was wanting, he wanted a celebrity. And that was just not my personality. And so when I met with him and talked with him and all that, the conversation wasn't a whole lot about football. It was a whole lot about the way I live and do I, you know, do I run around with women a lot? How much do I drink? I mean, it was all these things. I grew up in a football fan, and my father was a head coach and athletic director of a high school for like 25 years. And, that was not my style to be that kind of personality. Well, on the other hand, Namath was right up their alley because, and nothing against Joe, but he just had a reputation for being, you know, walk on the wall side. So Sammy Ball had become had been my coach at college at Tulsa, and he'd become the head coach at Houston. And so this was this was right up my alley. So we traded. But Houston traded rights, draft rights, not players,
right,
but draft
right.
rights. And so they ended up getting the opportunity to draft Namath, who they wanted, and Houston had the opportunity to draft me. The sad thing about the Houston situation is we go down there and we're practicing I'm at Tulsa, and we're going to play Mississippi in the Blue Bonnet Bowl, and it's a Thursday, I look over there and I see Sammy Ball on the sideline watching practice, and I went, "Oh, that's cool, man." I've already told Sammy Ball I'm coming to the Oilers. And so when practice was over, I walked over and I said, "Hey, Coach, how you doing? What's going on?" He says, "Don't come here." And I went, "What?" He goes, "They just fired me." I went, "What?" And he goes, "Yeah, they just fired me." I said, "Well, did they know about all this thing going on?" They Bud Adams told me personally, "We're going a different direction." So, you know, that's a great term. We're going to go
right,
a different
yeah. right.
Yeah, we love that. I mean, instead of, you know, this way. So I basically turned around to Houston and said, "I'm going to go a different direction also." So I signed with the Cowboys.
That's wild.
Namath is over, but Namath ended up signing with the Jets.
The rest is history there. It's a great story.
Yeah. Wild stuff. When did you know, like, was there a moment that you knew McNair was going to be what McNair became? I know you had a good forecast for him, but do you remember a time in practice or when he started playing that a light bulb went off for you, or you saw a light bulb go off for him, where you said,
when I watched him on the field, in his surroundings, when we first got there to work him out and to talk to him on the board and all that, I knew what kind of player he was going to be. Just watching him move around and throw the ball and the confidence he had, there's no way. It took him 2 years, you know. I mean, he came in so late. I mean, it was like the day before we were even going to have our game. I mean, so they pretty much, because of money, they pretty much just ruled Steve out for the first year. And so then I spent as much time as I could all during that season and the next off season to get him ready for the second year. And then we would put him in places and let him play and you know, you could see as the season went along him improving, and then all the time that I spent with him after practices and in meetings and all that, I could just see him going up, you know, up the ladder. And I eventually, that after that season, I went to Dick Vermeil, became the head coach with the Rams, and I had been with Vermeil in pro ball as a player and all that. But anyway, myself and Dick Corey both were coaches on that staff, and we left and went to the St. Louis Rams.
So, Jerry Rome, the last offensive coordinator of the Houston Oilers and the first offensive coordinator of Steve McNair. We appreciate you reminiscing with us before Steve's number is retired on Sunday, along with Eddie George at Nissan Stadium. Good catching up.
Thank you, Jerry.
Thanks so much.
Well, I enjoyed talking to you guys, and I just want you to know that Steve McNair was a class act, and I just hated to see all that happen. What happened? But again, he was a class act. The years that I've known him.
Thanks, Jerry.
Thank you for talking to me.